Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
It just not knowing. It was just naivety. I hadn't ever, prior to that, really been in the big room. And I say the big room with when you have senior executives and you're up and coming in the organization, that can be super daunting and a little scary, even though they're just human beings and they're all great people. It's a little bit of a nerve-wracking experience. And getting in there and then actually then starting to have some one-on-ones with people, you begin to really start to get to know another person and you get to see what they're motivated by, what drives them. In my undergrad studies, I studied psychology and I never became a therapist. I never went on to do that, but I couldn't believe how well this now has come back around and helped me in my career of just having a better understanding of people and sometimes how people operate and what motivates them and how they tick. It gave me a little bit of an advantage there as I started to now work with these individuals. And that relationship building is so important. One, yes, of course you got to deliver the project and you want to have a successful project, but you never know where the paths are going to cross down the road and sure. What that might look like in the future. Taking the time to really be open and work with those that can influence what you're doing is such a critical lesson I learned.
The moment you start wondering if you belong in the room is often the exact moment your leadership is being shaped. There's a moment that many leaders don't talk about. The moment you step into the bigger room, greater visibility, higher stakes, and suddenly you wonder if you actually really belong there at all. That voice of doubt doesn't mean you're failing. Often it means you're growing. Today, I'm speaking with TJ Lentz, an HR and organizational development executive who shares a defining leadership moment about being stopped cold in a senior executive meeting and how that experience became the catalyst for resilience, confidence, and a very different way of leading. Together, we'll explore what it means to stay in the moment, stay in the room, especially when self-doubt shows up. We'll talk about how resilience is built in the chaos of the storm and why belonging is something that leaders grow into, not wait to feel. TJ Lentz is an HR and organizational development executive with extensive experience building high-performing teams and leading strategic transformation. He currently serves as a senior HR executive at Doka USA, where he oversees human capital strategy, total rewards, talent acquisition, and organizational development. TJ's background spans sales leadership, talent development, and organizational change, supported by a master's and doctoral degrees from the University of Pennsylvania. His research on leadership resilience is contributing to an upcoming book set to publish in 2026, where he explores how leaders navigate pressure, uncertainty, and moments that test their confidence and come out stronger on the other side. We are so excited, TJ, to have you today. We're going to have a great conversation.
Thanks, Alexa. It's great to be with you. Excited to be here.
We're going to be here and talk about some messy moments. And TJ is about to share one of his so we can grow from his experiences.
Yeah, sure. Messy moments. There's been a few throughout my career, like with most people, I think everybody has these experiences. And really the key is what do you learn from it? And then how do you apply that going forward? And then also turn around and maybe help your brother or sister coming up behind you to maybe avoid that same mistake in the future. Mine was going back to when I was growing up in the company, moving from a management role into a more senior management position. I was living in Boston at that time. It was piloting a project for the company I was working at around how do you drive customer engagement? And this was coming when we were on our way out of the recession from 2008 and 2009. And this project really took a completely different look at how we approach our customers and how we want to approach the potential and understanding potential of our greatest opportunities with the customers we served.
That's awesome. TG, let me jump in here and just wind back a little bit. So here you are, you're in Boston, you've been a manager, but now you're leveling up. You're getting into more of those executive ranks and you're in charge of a pretty important project for this company. It looks like it's something that could make all the difference in that time of a big economic downturn. Tell me what was top of mind for you as you stepped into this new, bigger role.
Yeah, it was the first time that I had transitioned out of like a field sales, field management position and moved myself into a more of a strategic marketing, which also was a training role for me as well, because what we had learned from the pilot that we worked through was now successful. So I was then tasked with go build a implementation strategy for how do we do this all around the organization.
People had a lot of faith in you, it sounds like.
Yeah, the company really made an investment in me. They took a risk, calculated risk that I would be able to rise to the opportunity, which I was incredibly grateful for that. And it also boosted my confidence that, hey, this pilot that we ran was successful. And now let's go run and figure out how do we spread it and how do we get more and more of our colleagues in the boat, especially at that critical frontline management level to help us steer the organization where we wanted to go.
That had to feel exciting. What were you feeling on
the
inside?
I mean, exciting and daunting, right?
Daunting.
So I have to move. Our headquarters was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was living in Boston. So that's a pretty big relocation across the country. Also a completely different culture moving from Massachusetts to Oklahoma. So that was pretty exciting. And then I had always been out in the field and working and managing a sales team. So now I'm in the corporate headquarters, settling into an office space in a big kind of bullpen in marketing with colleagues all around me. And that really was a huge adjustment just in the day-to-day work, going from that field-based role, which many of us have had in the past, to now sitting in an office 9-10 hours a day. That's a completely different change in environment.
Yeah, hugely different. And so you're adding a lot of color to this for me. I really appreciate it. It sounds like, you know, you've got, you know, excitement, a little bit daunting, and also you've layered on two major life changes. You're moving across the country. You're shifting your whole way of operating from maybe being more independent out in the field and maybe running on your own schedule to in the office where there's rigor around meetings and how you show up and people can see you all the time. And what was that like? What were those changes like?
It was exciting. I'm a pretty social person, so I really enjoyed being around people at work. You also have your personal life that you're balancing. It's a big move for my spouse and my partner to come over to Oklahoma. And you're also trying to get your life settled in your community that we moved into. And thankfully, we lived in a wonderful community, had great neighbors, really welcoming there in Oklahoma. But that's always in the back of your mind is, okay, is my wife, is my partner okay in this new location, in this new city? While also being tasked with a pretty big responsibility and a pretty big project to go and tackle. A lot of us have to navigate those situations in life. And it's just, you take it a day at a time. And for me, the big lesson in that was really just embrace the unknown, embrace change, and really make the best of it. Hey. And the way you show up every day with your attitude is really going to dictate how the day goes. And it's one of the things where you actually have control of that. And so for us, it was exciting, but it was a big change in our lives.
Yeah. Even the most joyful changes can bring a little consternation, a little nervousness, what have you. And it sounds like you were taking on a lot of responsibility for how your spouse was doing, yourself in this new place, getting to know the neighbors, but then back to this exciting opportunity. Tell me a little bit more. So now we have bigger picture of your world at that time. Walk me into the office and you in the day in the life of TJ with this new project.
Yeah, so the project was pretty straightforward. It's, look, we've going to shift the way we approach our market and the way that we go after the customers in our segments. And we needed to also figure out, how do we train 200 sales managers that are out dispersed across the country in the US and Canada? How do we get them to operate differently and begin to coach their teams this kind of new way of working? And that's a big step change for any organization. And like any step change, it starts with a strategy, and it starts with a training program on what is it that we need to do, where do we need to go, and how are we going to do it, most importantly? How do we do it? And so I was tasked with developing a go-to-market training program for all of our sales managers across North America on this new approach and this new way of working. The big advantage I had, Alexa, was one, I had a lot of support from our CEO. I also had the advantage of sitting in the seat that I am now going and trying to convince others that were in the same seat, this new way of coaching and working.
Yeah, you probably had a lot of credibility with folks that were facing customers every day because you'd been there and done that.
Yeah, and it was a big part of that. I think it's part of the reason, or a big part of the reason, why we were successful.
So I hear a little messiness in just the amount of change going on. So far, everything seems blue skies.
It seems like we're sailing in blue skies, and I felt like I had the wind in my sails. So I work on this big proposal. It's a change effort. It's going to require that we pull people out of the day to work on in this training workshop.
People that are making money for the company.
Oh, yeah.
Going to get pulled out of doing that.
This is where the revenue gets driven in the organization, at least on the front end. And I developed this training program. I thought it was great. I now have to go pitch this to our executive management team. And I walk in there with a pretty good feeling for the day. I knew I had the support of our CEO. I get not even, Alexa, to my second slide. And then the whole thing goes off the rails.
Okay, let's slow it down real slow here, because I think many people, including myself, have gone in very confident and suddenly things take a turn. So how did you know things were maybe not what you had hoped they would be?
It was almost instantaneous when arguably probably the most influential person in the room, aside from the CEO, just stopped me on slide two and said, who else in this room have you talked to and got alignment with on this proposal?
You know what? I got to tell you something. Your eyes changed right when you said that. I think that it stuck with you in some way because you got very serious. And I think that kind of speaks to maybe how you might have been receiving that message.
Yeah, it was, you have those moments in your life where you have that proverbial get hit between the eyes. This was getting hit between the eyes, completely unprepared for that question. But I instantly realized that, oh boy, I missed a big piece of this, which is I didn't talk to any of them. And these are the senior VPs, the senior leaders that are running the organization. The CEO also didn't jump in and save me, because he also saw this is a great learning moment for this young up-and-coming person in our company.
Not at the time.
Yeah, I of course didn't know that at the time. I was looking for a life vest or a lifeline, something, while the waves were crashing on me. But it didn't come. In the moment, it was really disheartening. But as you get a little bit of time away from it, what an amazing learning experience. And how grateful I am that I didn't just get thrown a lifeline.
So we do know that you're sitting here today, you're still smiling.
Yeah,
and you have a great career. We'll fast forward to that in just a few minutes. As you were in that room and this influential leader said, who else have you talked to in here? And you were then noticing, maybe, I don't know, what did you notice in your body? What did you do next?
It was almost that feeling of you disappointed somebody. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was like, because the person that asked the question, the senior executive that asked the question, was actually the senior executive I had worked under and had supported me and put me forward. So he had taken a risk on me to go and do this project for the organization. And of course, he was the first one that stopped me. So I almost, in a way, it felt like I let him down in the moment. It really felt that way.
Yeah. And coming feedback like that, well, it wasn't feedback. It was a simple question. And it exposed something that you maybe missed. And then this sounds like somebody that really you respected. Coming from him, it sounds like.
To this day.
Wow. Okay. So you were going through all of these emotions. Can you give us a little bit of the next steps as you walked through that?
The next steps was the meeting ended. I had a half hour with him and it was over in 10 minutes.
Oh, goodness.
So it was, we all agreed that consensus building needed to be the next step and that we'd get the input from this executive team around the strategy and also around this training plan, because we were pulling their leaders out of the field, which, you know, as we established earlier, there, that's the front line of driving the revenue for the organization. So there's an investment beyond just time to do what we were proposing. So that was a moment where I left the room knowing that, okay, clearly I need to go set up some one-on-ones with each of these key stakeholders and make sure that their input, that their fingerprints existed in this strategy and in this project proposal, but also that I know that I learned that if I got them in the boat, they would be the biggest champions for this effort.
Yeah.
That was a big learning that I didn't come to realize until a little bit of time had passed.
Oh, interesting. It sounded like you were very resilient in that moment and you just went with it. And it sounds like you probably still were resilient. But what you just said to me is it took me a little while to learn the important lesson that if their fingerprints are on it, they're going to be the biggest champion. So
yeah,
walk me through what it took to allow you to see that part.
So of course I go back to my desk. I'm devastated and I'm feeling pretty not so confident anymore. Now the imposter syndrome's really coming in. Oh, did I make a good decision? I moved my family here. You get that negative voice going sometimes and you got to quickly turn that off and quiet it down and have arguments against it. No, everything's fine. We're going to be okay. This was good feedback. Let's figure out how to move forward. And I'll start with just the next step, which is let's set up some one-on-one meetings and now begin to unpack this thing a little bit on what we need to do and what they would like to see. And it was coming from a sales background. We get taught really well how to ask good open-ended questions to customers. So you can take that same approach, just use it internally. And really just try to think about, okay, what is their need? What are some of the key benefits of doing this approach? And then what's the best way that we can partner together to move forward? And using that same concept here was a big eye-opening moment. It also, the unexpected consequence out of this for me was I also now had this amazing opportunity to build a relationship with each one of these executives, which it seems so obvious, but at the time, I didn't even think about that, of how important that is, that this isn't just about consensus building. It's also about building relationships with people and key people who influence not only your career, but also influence the organization. And that is a major lesson that I still hold to this day.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our accelerated transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or via email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show.
You know what's surprising to me? There's two surprises in here, and one of them is that you had imposter syndrome. This is a bias on my part.
Yeah.
I feel like I always have been a good rule-abiding citizen and respected authority. So I'm like, oh, look at TJ as VP of HR. He could have never had imposter syndrome. And now you're here telling me, yeah, I had imposter syndrome. Yes, and that is, look at me having a bias that, oh, TJ could never have. So thanks for sharing that.
No, gladly. I think we all battle it in some form or another in a lot of the roles, especially when you get stretched out of your comfort zone. It's a natural thing that happens. You just have to be willing to get control of that voice and reassure yourself that, no, you are in the right spot and you do deserve a seat here.
Sounds like you had a dialogue. If you have imposter syndrome and it's saying some things that are less kind than what you just said, you had another voice that was right there next to it that said, I am good enough. I'm worth being here. I'm here for a reason. Yeah.
Yeah. That and a support network.
Okay.
It can also reinforce that too, right?
Oh, good.
Because of course I go back and I talk to my boss, get home that night. I talk to my family, talk to my wife. And it's just, hey, you learn from your mistakes, fail forward, don't fail backwards, and just pick yourself up and keep moving forward. And this too shall pass, as the saying goes.
It's sometimes good to have other people around you that can say that, because in the moment, it's stressy. Yeah.
Yeah. Your network is really important throughout your life. And that network changes, by the way, at the different stages you're in. But having certain people around you that you trust, that you can be authentic with, that you can have a sparring partner with, whoever that is, whatever that looks like, that is a critical piece to, I think, your individual success and just your overall mental health, is having some good folks around you every now and again that can tell you also and call you out when you're acting, maybe overreacting, or maybe being a little bit too negative or too self-doubting. It's so important to have that around you.
This brings me to the other thing. I said I had two surprises, and this surprise is about your comment about building those relationships. And what surprises me is, as someone in sales, I think salespeople are really great at the peopling. You know, they understand what people need, they understand how to relate, and I really think that's a gift. And then here you were, somebody that was really great at that. And then you came into this new environment and it was a blind spot for you with these folks. What led to that being a blind spot?
I just think it was just not knowing. It was just naivety. I hadn't ever prior to that really been in the big room. And I say the big room with when you have senior executives and you're up and coming in the organization, that can be super daunting and a little scary, even though they're just human beings. And they're all great people. It's just, it's a little bit of a nerve-wracking experience. And getting in there and then starting to have some one-on-ones with people, you begin to really start to get to know another person and you get to see what they're motivated by, what drives them. I have in my undergrad studies, I studied psychology and I never became a therapist. I never went on to do that, but I couldn't believe how well this now has come back around and helped me in my career of just having a better understanding of people and sometimes how people operate and what motivates them and how they tick. It gave me a little bit of an advantage there as I started to now work with these individuals. And that relationship building is so important. One, yes, of course, you got to deliver the project and you want to have a successful project, but you never know where the paths are going to cross down the road and what that might look like in the future. Taking the time to really be open and work with those that can influence what you're doing is such a critical lesson I learned.
Absolutely. I think that you called your network into action when you needed them, maybe not even knowing. And then you intentionally set forth and started having these one-on-ones and maybe broke down some prior assumptions about, oh, they're in the big room. Am I allowed to be in the big room? I don't know. But you started seeing them more as real human beings, which probably led to a different type of relating with them.
It does, because you also realize very quickly that we all have the same goal in mind. Yeah. In this organization, we wanted to build a better future for our customers, for our employees, for the communities we lived in and served. And we all had that same goal. And we all also had the same five letters on our shirt. We're on the same team and we have a committed shared vision for success. And once you realize that, again, it seems obvious, right? But as a new person, this is a new environment for me at that time, it really magnified the importance of really getting to know and spending time to making sure that you've got other people's ideas built into what you're proposing.
I love that you said that, because one of the things you said earlier is if they get their fingerprints on it, they'll be your biggest champions. And you've also mentioned that you are all on the same team. You all had the same good intentions. However, different people have different perspectives and they can add to the project and things like that. So some really important lessons for growing as a person and change, and also working with people to get important things done instead of going it alone. So TJ, what other lessons do you want to highlight?
When you get the chance and you're in the big room, know you belong there. You've earned it. And that people wouldn't put you there if they didn't believe in you. So if you have that imposter syndrome at times that we all get, you have that voice that sometimes is telling a different narrative than what's real. Just remember you can control that and have some arguments against it for why you should be there and why it's not rational that you feel like you don't deserve to be there. That's probably the biggest lesson to take away. The second is go and get consensus, not just for your project, but get other people's input into things. Great ideas come from sometimes places you don't expect, and you shouldn't be worried about where great ideas come from. Create an environment where great ideas surface from anywhere. And that is, to me, what true inclusion looks like, is that welcome the dissenting voice or welcome reinforcing voice. You want to get as many ideas to the table as possible so that you can come out with the best product as possible. So building that is critical.
Sorry to interrupt you. Can I double click on that a little bit? I just love that you said, allow ideas to come from everywhere. Don't make assumptions, good, bad, ugly. Let them be coming up. And that's what an inclusive culture is all about. Can we explore a little bit how you allow the ideas to come? How do you create the space where anyone could feel safe to say something?
If you fast forward to now today, as an HR leader, this is one of my core responsibilities, is to set this pace, model this type of behavior for our organization, for those that work in my team. And there, it's just being okay with a little bit of silence in a meeting, whether it's virtual or in person. Silence is a gift because some people, they're thinking and reflecting. And if you're the leader in the room and you just jump in right away with an opinion, that may then set the pace for the rest of that discussion. And no one's going to maybe feel comfortable challenging the idea, or that, okay, no, that's a good idea, we're going to just stick with that, when we may have missed a way better idea from someone else. So it's being a little bit comfortable in the silence. And if you have people in the room that maybe are naturally inclined to lean in and speak up, I feel it's okay to call on them and ask them what they think and get their voice also in the mix if they're not maybe naturally inclined to just share. And I think that also models a good positive behavior as a leader, is trying to make sure that everyone feels like they're in a safe space, they also can speak up, and that we don't judge someone on a bad idea. We judge them on the quality of their good ideas.
I think that this power of silence as a leader is really important, because we all have ideas about leaders and, oh, if TJ said that, that's got to be the one. I might not be the person that would then challenge you out of respect, but I might have had another idea that just doesn't get the airtime. So I love your advice to leaders. Don't jump in too fast. Make space for other things to bubble up. And then your idea of calling people into the conversation is a lovely invitation. And when they get used to that, they know they're going to be invited, hopefully. And then they can probably also say, hey, I need a little more time to think about that. It sounds like that's okay with you.
Yeah, I think it's always situationally dependent, right? But I think the more that we can model this type of openness and behavior as leaders in our organizations, I think the more great ideas are going to come to the table and the more people are going to feel like they're contributing to the maybe the greater cause of the organization. And there's no greater feeling than when someone in your team has a way better idea than you have, because it also reinforces that you made a great hiring decision.
Yeah.
And having that and setting that tone is really important, in my humble opinion, to really creating a better environment.
Absolutely. Someone once said, as a leader, you aren't the genius anymore. You don't need to be the genius. What you need to be is the genius maker. And when you said there's no better feeling than somebody on your team having a better idea than you, I think that shows the heart of a genius maker.
I have an incredible amount of gratitude because years ago, someone took a risk on me more than once and gave me opportunities to grow. And you can never really pay that leader back or that person back, or maybe it was a coach in high school or whoever that gave you an opportunity. You can never really pay them back. How you pay them back is you pay it forward. And I often think about your career, my own career journey. Sometimes it's like a Spartan race. You've got the obstacles you got to climb over. You're exhausted. But what do you do when you get to the top of that big wall? You turn around and help your brother or sister up that wall. And that is in your career. That's a way in how you pay it forward, is you turn around and you help the people behind you that are coming up with opportunity and taking a calculated risk on them because somebody did it for you. And so what better way to honor that than to turn around and share and emulate that leader that you had or that coach that you had that helped you get there? The more of us that do that, you know, what can we create in our organizations?
100%. And that takes your story really full circle. I remember you saying, the person that spoke up and asked you that hard question, second slide in, was someone that really had your back, you looked up to, you reported to at one time, and you still respect them. So tell me a little bit about how the story ended, because we got the lessons, but I want to know, did it ever get out to the field? Tell me a little more.
It did. I went on a tour around North America for about 6 months, embedding this training program into the daily practice and taking our leaders through it. And we shifted with a team of people, we shifted the direction of the organization in a positive way. And I feel very proud that I had a small fingerprint on that change in that company. That also is what led me into HR. That was my first, I had been in the sales side of the company, now in marketing, but that was my first entry into training and development because it was a training program. And that opened the door then for me to join our training team in that organization where I came in as a team leader and worked. And from there, opened and started to chart my career in HR from that moment. So it really was life-changing. And it was a transformational change in my career at that moment. And looking back on it, that's where I can easily tie back to where I've shifted from being in the business to now coming in and working in HR to support the people side of the company.
I think it's incredible. That is really where you placed that moment. And I wonder if the question asker who taught you so much and also had your back and had this great lesson in store and was there to meet with you afterwards and help you along, I wonder if they know that they were responsible for your career trajectory in some small way.
I hope so. When I left that organization, I spent a long time there. I was there almost 17 years. When I left that company, he was the first person I called when I left the organization. And I had the opportunity to say thank you for the support in my career. So they're hopeful that that resonated for them as much as it did for me. But again, I can never pay that person back. All I can do is try to pay it forward. And that's my responsibility. And it's the thing I take with me today.
And I can tell you take it to heart. So that's really lovely. One of the things I hope you'll share is a little summary for anyone that is coming in here and might be 20 years earlier in their career. What are the top three things that you would like to share with them?
The top three: lean in to the opportunities, the discomfort, the pushing yourself a little bit outside of your comfort zone. It's where growth happens. You hear it time and time again, but as someone who's lived it, I would encourage that for sure. Second, be confident that you're in the right place. You're in the room because you deserve to be there. You've earned it. And don't let the voice creep into your head and tell you otherwise. You need to quiet that voice down and remind yourself all the hard work that brought you to where you're at today and keep pushing forward. Even when it's tough, that's when growth happens. Your strength as a leader is not measured when business is great. It's measured when you're in the storm. Okay. And we all go through the storms in our careers, in our organizations. It's how you navigate that storm, no matter the size of the boat you're in. It's how you navigate it and come out of it intact and stronger is what shapes then even future opportunities for you. So take those moments as learning moments and know that it too shall pass. The third one is, for me, is reach out and build your network. Have good people around you. Surround yourself with the people you want to become and the people that you look up to. Build those networks. Ask for mentorship. Ask for coaching. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Really just put yourself surrounded by people that can take you to where you want to be professionally and personally. That application is just as relevant for your life as it is for your professional life.
Because we're all whole people somehow, whether we like to share it at work or not. But at the end of the day, oftentimes this advice that we get about our work life really has application in many facets of our world. So TJ, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I'm so delighted that you made it your life's work to pay that forward, because it sounds like you're helping organizations really build leaders who build leaders who build amazing people. So that's wonderful.
Thank you.
And let me ask you, if people want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me, of course, on LinkedIn. You can also find me in social media on Facebook or Instagram. Feel free to reach out. I'd be glad to connect. And I'm excited also. I've contributed to a book that will be published in the spring of 2026 called Leader as Architect. And I wrote chapter 3 of this book, and very excited to get that out to the world with my co-authors in this journey. Really excited to share the word. My chapter's on Leader as the Architect of Organizational Resilience.
Amazing. I can't wait to read it. So folks, the information to reach out to TJ on LinkedIn is in our show notes. And you'll also find the title of his book. And he's written chapter 3, Leader as Architect. And I can't wait to check that out. TJ, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I know that everyone that's listening, a lot of lessons from you. And it's just been a fun conversation. It's been a treat for me. So thank you so very much for giving us your three big lessons. Growth happens in the spaces where we're not comfortable, and know that you belong. That's a big one, especially when those imposter voices come in. And then last, how you've cultivated a network and let everyone else know that's a strength that can guide you through life, personal, professional. So lean on others as much as they lean on you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Alexa, for having me part of your great podcast. It's been
really fun. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us or subscribe. You can find us on any podcast platform, and we'll see you next time on Transformation Unfiltered.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you, who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.